Welcome back to the Run Nerd Library podcast. This is episode 14, the season finale, and I'm your host, Don Hahn. This episode's going to be a little bit different than the other episodes that you've listened to throughout the season. Today, my guest is me, this conversation will be a stream of consciousness, a veritable fartlek exercise of a podcast as I reflect on the season that's passed. We've talked about a lot of topics this year, including mindfulness, different author styles, how the authors got started in both running and writing, and we'll dive into that a little bit more in segment two. But as this is that flow of consciousness, I want to start out with some dreams. I don't know if these are typical runner dreams, but these are dreams that I have whenever I go to sleep the night before a race. And maybe you have some of these as well. And we'll circle back to what my race calendar looks like in segment three. So I wanted to start with this. How many of you out there have had the dream where you show up at the race on race day? You're healthy, your training's gone really well, and you feel like you're ready to go. But then the gun goes off and you simply can't run. Your legs won't move. You're just stuck there like you're standing in quicksand. That's one of the common ones that I get. Another one on the positive side is that I get to the race. I've gone through that same training that I just described. Everything seems like it's going really well. And then I set out to a ridiculous pace, and I actually do way better than I could ever possibly do in reality. And that's a great feeling, and it's definitely a great motivator as you get ready for the race the next day. That's the dream that I hope comes around more often, more frequently. And then the last one, the third dream that is kind of recurring for me is, I'm sure everybody else can relate to this one, is that I woke up late for the race and I'm not going to make it on time. The inevitable outcome of that is you wake up every hour on the hour looking at the clock, making sure that you didn't wake up late for the race. So think about those dreams. And if you've had similar dreams or you have dreams that reoccur for you before races, why don't you reach out to me through one of the social media channels that's at Run Nerd Library, and you can find that on Facebook and on Instagram. I'd like to hear about what you dream about the night before a race. So let's continue on. As we normally go through the different segments in a podcast episode, we start out in segment one where we talk to the author about how they got started in running and found their love for running and how they got started in writing books. Segment two, we always talk about the titles that are the focus of that particular episode, and we get into the trenches, into the weeds of the content, and ask the author about how they were feeling and why those things were written the way they were. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that, share some clips with you in the next segment as we go through that. But the final segment, segment three, I always like to hear about what's coming up next for the author. So what they're doing in terms of writing, in terms of running, and other things that are on the horizon for them. So I'm going to share with you in segment three today what some of the things on the horizon for me are this year. 2023 has been a fabulous year for running-related content. I'm going to go back the last 12 months, so we're going to include December of 2022 in this. Think about all the books that have come out, and we've talked about many of them on this podcast. Running While Black, Running, Choosing to Run, The Longest Race, The Slow AF Run Club, Good for a Girl, and Jeff Galloway's new cross-country title that just recently came out. It's been an exciting year. There haven't been many times in running history where there's been that many quality books that have come out in the span of 1 year. We'll talk about a little bit more about each of those in the upcoming segment. And I want to also talk about my Mount Read More of books that you should maybe check out in this off season between podcast episodes if you're interested. So let's jump into segment two here. And let's talk a little bit about Run Nerd Library podcast and our guests this year. Just so you know, a little bit of statistical history for you. Run Nerd Library podcast peaked at 71st on the Refonic charts for the sports running category. We had listeners from every continent except for Africa, and episode two with Bill Kenley still ranks as the number one episode of the podcast. So I want to thank our listeners from all over the country, France, Germany, England, Australia, in South America, in Bolivia, and Costa Rica. Thank you for listening. Canada, appreciate you listening into the show as well. It's exciting to have a listenership so broad and diverse, and I hope that you've enjoyed the books that we've talked about this year. One of my absolute favorite episodes this year was right around the time when we were celebrating the momentous achievement of Sir Roger Bannister. As you'll all recall, Roger Bannister is the first person that broke the 4-minute mile. And my guest for that show was Neil Bascom, the author of The Perfect Mile. Neil was one of my early interviews, and I got to tell you, I had a lot of fun doing that interview. He's very gracious, very kind person, and very knowledgeable. So as we dove into the content, you could tell the earnestness with which he had interviewed the protagonists of this story, that being Roger Bannister, Landry, and Wes Santee, and the outcome of the book, which is just phenomenal. As I recall, and as I think about the way he described walking around Iffley Track with Bannister, the very track where that feat had taken place, and this is some 50 years later, the conversation he had, the sound of the crushed brick underneath his foot as he walked around that track, that image that is conveyed through the way he told it comes back to me every time I'm walking on gravel, running on gravel, or any way otherwise on a track. I think about that moment, what it must have felt like for Neil, and you know what it must have felt like for Sir Roger to talk to Neil about that moment. And I can almost see the smile on Roger's face as he's talking about that day. And I can almost feel the smile in Neil's heart as he's listening to that profound story. So listen to this in Neil's own words.
Bannister was a super aggressive interview subject. He was probably one of the most aggressive I've ever experienced. I mean, he spent the first 20 to 30 minutes of our interview asking me questions about what I knew about his era of running and what he did, mm-hmm. To sort of begin to trust me that I was going to be able to tell this story accurately and that was my intention. But, you know, ultimately, you know, convinced him I was serious. He kind of eased up a little bit, but you know, we spent many hours together, both in London, and then I met him out in Oxford, where he also lived, walked around Iffley Road Track, where he broke the 4-minute mile. And, you know, you could sense that it felt very real to him. Mm-hmm. He had become this enormously famous person because of this achievement. But the fact is, back when he was doing it on this cinder track that he had helped build with Oxford University. And it was something that he sort of cobbled together on his own. So it was nice seeing that contrast between this sort of epic, you know, mountain of a person and then, you know, what you envisioned him in his early 20s as a young man.
So you can definitely hear in his voice the passion that he had for this project and the enjoyment he got from speaking with those authors. Another one of the authors that I spoke with early on was Lindsay Freeman. Lindsay is an author of a number of different types of books, but her book is part of the Practices series from Duke University, Duke University Press, that is. And the title is Running. This is a small chapbook of her experience as a runner, both as a Division I college athlete and a person who continued to run after college. This book, I was amazed with how chocked full of history and facts and just really solid research you could put into 130 pages. It's a fast read if you haven't picked it up yet. Go out and get yourself a copy. We have them for sale in the Run Nerd Library shop, so you can grab a copy there. But it's a fast read and it's an interesting read. Her story takes some twists and turns and some very interesting steps along the way. One of the things I'm going to assign you for homework that I learned from reading her book is that there's a movie called Personal Best, which was filmed in the early 80s, and it's about running. There's a lot of training montages in it, and just it's a good movie for you to watch if you're a running enthusiast like me. So take a look at that. Again, that's called Personal Best. And the other thing that really stuck out to me was her understanding of the history of running. And I still to this day am glad that we did not keep the Waldnealer Dauerlauf. Let me try that again. The Waldnealer Dauerlauf as the name of the long distance run that we do on the weekends. That's the Waldneal Endurance Run in English. So for my German listeners out there, if I butchered the pronunciation on that, let me know. Let's keep me honest on that. But basically, Dr. Ernst van Aken was the father of the long distance run, and he called it the Waldnealer Dauerlauf, which is the Waldneal Endurance Run. The American runner Joe Henderson coined the expression LSD in 1969. It was a play on the on Timothy Leary's LSD of the 60s. And that's where the long, slow distance really began to take shape and form and become a part of our vernacular in the running world in his book, The Long, Slow Distance. So those are some things that you're going to learn and find out about in the book Running. I would point out that if you're looking for diverse perspectives, maybe something outside of what you're traditionally used to reading, this is also a good book because Lindsay is a openly LGBTQ person, runner, author, and scholar. So you get some different perspective if you're like me and as a cis white male, you know, I enjoyed reading it because it helped me to see that there are different types of runners out there and get their perspective. I want to talk about a couple of books that are near and dear to my heart now. Those are books that have come from Run Nerd Press, my publishing company. So we'll start out with, for no particular reason other than I'm going to start there. We're going to start out with The Order of the Red Lion by Tim Byers. The Order of the Red Lion, Tim and I met for coffee back in January, and we had met because our wives worked together. And Tim had this book project that he'd worked on, and he had given me a sample copy to take a look at and read. And I really enjoyed the novel. It was exciting. It was fast-paced, suspense thriller based on World War II, pre-World War II Luxembourg. The teenage protagonist was a boy who didn't really care about politics, was really more interested in drawing on a scratch pad. But he was thrust into the world of politics when his father was arrested by German forces operating within Luxembourg. So he's thrown into this adventure, if you will, of life-death scenarios where he has to try to stop the German plot on his country of Luxembourg. You'll have to read it on your own to learn more, but one of the things that I wanted to take away from that is we talk about the authors and what motivates them and how they get started. And in Tim's case, he was always a World War II enthusiast. As a boy, he made models of World War II planes and tanks and things like that. He and I talked at length about different movies we've watched over the years and books that we've both read in the World War II space, which is part of the reason that his project was of interest to me. And he also spent time in Luxembourg as a foreign exchange student. And so that really formed a lot of the knowledge that he needed for the places and the characters. And the characters, a lot of them were based off of people that he'd met in real life while he was in Luxembourg. So I'm going to transition from there to Bill Kenley. And Bill's written two books that are now published by Run Nerd Press. The first one is his debut novel, High School Runner, and that was originally published by Riverside and now is, since 2023, has been a Run Nerd Press publication. It's Bill's love letter to his teammates. It follows the protagonist, Sherman Kendall, through his freshman season of cross country. And has a lot of fun, poignant stories throughout the book, a lot of lessons learned along the way, as you can expect from teenage boys, the hijinks that they get into as they figure out how to be a teammate and they figure out how to grow into being a man. So this is a great story. It's very funny, and it's one of interest, and it led to a second novel based on that. And this is where the tie-in comes in. Because when I talked to Bill in our first interview, I asked him about how he came up with the characters. There's some things that take place in the book, and how'd you come up with certain scenarios? And here, listen to what Bill had to say about that.
I've come to realize that writers use real people. And at first I was bashful. That's not the right word. I was a little worried and that I was writing about real people. And Jeff Slade is certainly based on a real guy, a guy who's a real brother to me. Love the guy. He was terrifying though. He actually did eat his radio one time when he was mad about his performance. So it's funny what people ask me that you made that up, right? Right. People say you couldn't have that.
Yeah.
Most of the craziest stuff I didn't make up. It was real.
So it's funny to think that these characters are often in these scenarios are actually based on real life, even if they may seem like they're a little bit too outlandish, because often the funniest things that we read are based on true stories. So his follow-up novel, Tiny Little Running Shorts, follows Sherman Kendall and his buddies from spring track season through the end of their high school career. It's a series of 20 short stories. Again, they're each packed with their own arc. So you can read through and you'll see some of that humor that I talked about from Bill, and you'll also get a lesson in each one of those stories. It's great for any reader who is a young adult or enthusiastic about running. This is going to be a good book for you. And so those are a couple of books that I talked to the authors from the Run Nerd Press about. Another one of my favorites, one of my favorite guests was from the Slow AAF Run Club, Martinez Evans. Martinez is on a quest. His mission is to try to improve the inclusivity of the sport of running for runners who have slower paces, air quotes on the slower. He's trying to find acceptance for any runner of any size and style and speed. And so a lot of the things that he talks about in his book are a great introductory read for somebody who wants to get started in running and is maybe afraid to, because they're afraid they're not going to be fast enough to keep up with anybody, or they're afraid that the sport's not for them because they don't look like the people they see on TV running in marathons. And that's okay. Everybody in the race is running a race of one, with the exception of those folks who are going for the prize up front. We're all back there competing to improve our own time, to improve our own health, or whatever our goal is. And that's one of the things that Martinez really talks through in this book. When I talked about another perspective earlier, when I talked about a new way of thinking, a diverse look at things, this book helped me to do that as well, because while I'm typically a mid-pack runner, maybe in the top third of any given race, I didn't have perspective on what it might be like for somebody who's at the back of the pack, who may have that swag or sag wagon, as we call it, following them throughout the whole race, and how much that could maybe create a defeated mentality. But this book will inspire you that even if you are DFL, dead, effing last, it doesn't matter, because you still finish the race. And he talks through scenarios where that was the case for him, and how he was able to continue to thrive even in spite of some of those challenges of being at the back of the pack. He also talks about SMART goals, which many of us are familiar with, and he has actually coined his own version of them called SMARTY goals, where he includes the big why. So you set all of your goals, but does any of it matter if there's no reason why? Your best chance for follow-through is if there's something that's pushing you forward to achieve the goal. Why do you want it? Why is it important to you? The nice thing about his book as well is it's a work text. So as you're reading through it, you can add your own thoughts and your own goals to it. So if you haven't taken a look at Slow AF Run Club, I would recommend that you do so. There were many, many great topics. We talked about mindfulness, as I mentioned. My guest for mindfulness covered a couple of different episodes during our May Mental Health Awareness Month. Todd Corbin, who is one of the leading writers on mindfulness for student athletes and mindfulness in general for athletes and a practitioner, was on for a great episode. He provided a lot of facts that could translate into actionable items that coaches could take with them after having listened to the episode. And I know that Todd is working with a number of Division I schools right now, so his thoughts on the matter are tested and are approved by those colleges that he's working with. So we also talked about a book called What Made Matty Run. As far as books go that really had an impact on me this year, that one sits right at the top of my heart. We had two episodes that we covered What Made Matty Run. The first was with high school teachers who have assigned the book and have experienced what it's like for teenage students to read that book and learn about Matty's story and hear about the high school students' stories themselves on how what it means to them and what struggles they're facing. We also spoke with a Division I sports psychologist, director of sports psychology for the University of Cincinnati, Leticia Nichols, and she gave her perspective on the book and what it means to be a college athlete and the pressures that are on them. So again, our goal with those episodes weren't just to inform you, but to give you some takeaways for ways that you can get help if you need it, if you're struggling with your own mental health, or if you're an athlete looking for an edge to perform even better, how mindfulness can play into that as well, both sides of that coin. So if you get a chance and you haven't, go back and listen to those episodes from May Mental Health Awareness Month. In just a minute, I'll be mentioning another thing that a pedestal that I put What Made Matty Run on. So about that pedestal, I've coined my own Mount Rushmore. I call it Mount Readmore. And I have a list of five books that should be in your winter reading list if you haven't read them yet. And I dubbed it my Mount Readmore. First of all, Bowerman and the Men of Oregon. That book is a historical perspective of Coach Bill Bowerman, takes you through his life from childhood through how most of us know him as the coach of the Oregon Ducks track and field and cross country team, and the man who basically invented the waffle shoe on his waffle iron, the track shoe with a waffle bottom on his waffle iron in his kitchen. So it's an interesting story. If you are a World War II history nut, there is some stuff in there for you as well on that. It's a long read. I would say this is a great option if you're an audiobook reader and you've got some time where you'll be flying or driving, grab a copy of the audiobook to listen to. But if you're a paper reader, that works out great as well. There's some nice pictures in it of his teams over the years and some of the Bill Bowerman hijinks that you'd expect to read about. So put that one right at the top of your list, Bowerman and the Men of Oregon. At this point, many of you have read Once a Runner. If you have not, get yourself a copy. You can do it right from my website, or you can get it through any of the other sellers of books. Once a Runner is the preeminent novel of the running space. It was written by John L. Parker, who now has three titles. Racing in the Rain is the prequel to Once a Runner, and then again to Carthage is the sequel to Once a Runner. So he's got three titles, the first of which was Once a Runner, which we talked about in the first episode of this podcast, and that should definitely be on your shelf and part of your Mount Readmore. The Perfect Mile, which I talked about earlier, Neil Bascom's book, is definitely on that list of books that you should read. It's a great historical take on one of the most significant achievements in running, if not human achievements, and that was the breaking of the 4-minute mile by Sir Roger. So it's a great read. It's because of the way that Neil immersed himself with the subjects, you get a true sense of what it felt like for each of them and what their personalities were like in that story. The book that really started it for me was Ultra Marathon Man by Dean Karnazes. So that one is on my Mount Readmore list. As I talked about in the first episode, that is the book that really got me started, because I read this phenomenal tale of a man who was challenged in his life. He had some things going on that weren't easy for him to handle or work through. So he went out for a run. And he went out for a run in his dress shoes and overnight, and he was gone all night. And he figured out that, hey, he's pretty good at this distance stuff. And it really turned out to be a pivotal point in his life as it turned things around for him. And he's still a running celebrity today. And finally, on my Mount Rushmore, the fifth of five, is that book that I just talked about, What Made Matty Run. This book was one that each member of my family read this book. And we talked about it a lot. I have two teenage daughters. They've gone through a lot in their running careers. They could relate in some ways to Matty. And it was really a heartbreaking story. Not giving anything away there. What Made Matty Run, The Secret Struggles and Tragic Death of an All-American Teen by Kate Fagan should be on your list as well to read this off-season. So those are some great things to read. I want to transition now to what I listen to, and I want to recommend a couple of those to you on podcasts. Not only do I record podcasts, but I listen to a lot of them. Two of them that I want to talk about today are Carrie Tollefson's See Tully Run. Carrie is a great interviewer. She gets all of the who's who of runners, contemporary runners, on her show for conversations. And that's what I like about her show, is it's conversational in style. She gets down to the training with the runners, but also gets to know them on a personal level. And so if you're not listening to See Tully Run, give it a try. She's got a lot of great episodes with folks that you're going to be familiar with. Another great podcast is Magnus and Marcus on Coaching. Now, Steve Magnus does have a couple of podcasts out there. I'm specifically speaking about the Magnus and Marcus on Coaching. The reason I like this one is it's a nice mix of science and application. You get Steve Magnus, the author of Do Hard Things, talking about his experience as a running coach, the way that he has changed over the years, his perspective on things, the way research has changed the way that he does things, and so forth. And I got to tell you, Steve will reference every running coach that has been out there in such a positive way that he understands what their philosophies were, what their training styles were, and how we can learn from each of those different coaches to apply it into another training method. So give that one a listen. All right, so there are a lot of running podcasts out there. If you look at the Raphonic top chart of running podcasts, there are over 300 listed on the chart. If you're looking for something to listen to and neither of those two sounded of interest to you, check it out. There's Alley on the Run, Nobody Asked Us Anyway with Daz and Karen, and plenty more that you can listen to. So as we come into segment three here, I want to wrap it up with what I have coming up next year. And I started out with what my dreams are about racing. Now let's talk about what my race plan looks like for the upcoming year and my goals for the year. I hope to run two half marathons early in 2024. I'm planning to run the Carmel Half Marathon in Carmel, Indiana. That'll be on April 13th. And then I'll follow that up with the Indianapolis Mini Marathon in May of 2024. The Indianapolis Mini Marathon is a race of almost 50,000 people every year, 13.1 miles. You get to do a lap around the famous Indianapolis Motor Speedway track before you end back downtown. It's a great, fun race. I've done it a number of times in the past, but as I was talking with a friend recently, I realized it's probably been close to 14 or 15 years since I last did it. So it's on my list for this year as well. A couple of other goals. As I age, the idea of staying fit, staying at the level I'm at, is very important to me and still continuing to improve. So I have set a 5K running goal for myself to achieve a time of 23:30 this year, in 2024. And that's definitely doable. Last year in 2022, I got to 2359 before a back injury sidelined me. This year has been, 2023 has been kind of a tough year for running. As of today, I'm about halfway to my 450-mile goal for the year, which is substantially less than what I would normally be shooting for. But injuries and illness have made this kind of an off year for me. So I want to come back next year with a strong performance in the 5K and try to get that down to 2330. And my final big goal is to get a 1 mile time of 615 or faster. Again, last year, running really well, got to a time of just under 630 in the mile. And I do believe that it's going to be possible to come back and get that 615 or faster this year. So those are some of my goals for 2024. As we get closer to the end of the year, you're going to start thinking about your resolutions and your goals for 2024, and I'd like to hear what those are as well. So reach out to me in the off season of the podcast through those social media channels that we talked about, and that would include, most likely you're going to find me on Instagram at Run Nerd Library, but I'm also on Facebook at Run Nerd Library as well. So reach out to me there. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and sign up as a subscriber to the show. That way, when the episode for the first episode of season two is ready, you'll be one of the first to know. Also, if you get a chance and you're so inclined, leave a nice review or a rating for me and let people know that you like the show. Well, I would certainly appreciate that. And if you happen to know anybody on the continent of Africa, we still need at least one listener there so we can check off all the continents. So reach out to your friend and tell them to give us a listen. All right. Thank you for listening this season. I want to thank all of my guests. It's been fun. I've really enjoyed every moment of it and getting to know them and their talk more about their books. These are things that as an enthusiast, I love to do anyway. And I was almost awestruck and just a big fan of all of their work. I want to thank our sound engineers for today's episode, Odd Squad Productions. That's Chris Nurnberger and Seth Tucker. Thank you for your work on getting this show ready to air. Everybody have a great winter, and we'll see you in the spring.